Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Old Testament reading found in Genesis chapter 3. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and above all the beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This is God's word. Here in the church, we talk a lot about sin, don't we? We begin pretty much every divine service confessing our sins. But every once in a while, it's helpful to just take a step back and define what it is we're talking about and ask ourselves, what is sin? In the New Testament, which was written in Greek, the word that means sin has to do with missing a mark. Kind of like that. It's sort of, think of an archer who points at a target, but he misses it. Our sin is like missing that mark that God has set for us, that standard which he has put before us. So that's one way that we can look at sin. But I think we get the best picture of what sin is here in Genesis chapter 3, right after it happens for the very first time. Our text picks up with verse 9, but you already know what happened in verses 1 through 8, don't you? Adam and Eve were in the garden. The serpent approached Eve. Eve and her husband Adam ate from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Their eyes were opened, and they saw this distinction between good and evil. They only saw what was good before that, what God put before them. And now they've eaten this fruit. They see their nakedness. They're filled with shame. Sin has entered the world. And then we encounter God here in our text for today, who it says is walking in the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. And how do the man and woman react? How do Adam and Eve respond to being in the garden with God? They hide themselves. Think about that. God himself was there in the garden with them, and they hid. Because that is ultimately what sin is. Separation from God and not being able to bear the thought of his presence with you. You have a God who creates this world and delights in it, and then he walks in it, it says. He's walking in the garden with Adam and Eve, and they hide from that. They hide from the God who created them, who had fellowship and intimacy with them by being in the garden. It says the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Their relationship with God was broken. They feared his presence. They separated themselves from him, which was absolutely contrary to how God had created them to be close to him, to have his very breath within them, giving them life, to be formed out of the ground by his own hand and brought to life by his word. God says, "Where are you?" And the man says, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Adam and Eve, now ashamed of their nakedness, ashamed of how God had created them. St. Augustine, one of the early fathers, the great fathers of the Christian church, said this about this text. He said, "When Adam heard God's voice, he answered that he hid because he was naked. His answer was a wretched error. As if a man naked as God had made him could be displeasing to him. It is a distinguishing mark of error that whatever anyone finds personally displeasing, he imagines is displeasing to God as well. In other words, why should Adam be ashamed of his nakedness? That was how God had made him. His shame wasn't really in himself. His shame was directed toward God. And his blame was too, wasn't it? Some of you catch that in the Old Testament reading. If you ask the question, who does Adam blame for his sin, for his separation? A lot of people mistakenly answer that he blames Eve. Well, he kind of does. He says, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit of the tree, and I ate. He just has to throw that detail in there, doesn't he? This woman you gave to me, she's the one who tempted me. So you have a man and a woman who now hide themselves from God, who are ashamed of themselves in the way God had created them, who point to God and blame him for their problems. That's sin. That is what afflicts you and me. Sin separates us from our Creator. Because, you know, I think we're tempted to think of sin as a bunch of individual little things, a word we said, a thought that passed through our minds, or a bad thing that we did. And we come before the altar as sinners seeking forgiveness, trying to recount the things that we've done. That was what Luther did, wasn't it? What drove him mad, trying to recount all the sins he had committed in his entire life. And you realize, it's not just the bad thing I said or the bad thing I thought. It is the very condition that exists within you and with me that has separated us from God, that has made us God's enemy, that has made us deserving of his wrath and his damnation and the fires of hell. That's sin. It's a disease, a terminal disease that threatens, promises to take our very life. That is sin. I once heard a pastor say, the church is like a hospital. It's for people sick with sin. And then I heard another pastor correct and said, no, it's hospice care. Because all of us are destined to die because of the sin that has separated us from God our Creator. The one who said, let us make man in our image. We chose instead not to settle for being in God's image, but to be like God himself, knowing good from evil. That's what the devil told Eve. That's what she bought into. God knows you will be like him, knowing good from evil. And you will not surely die. That is the blasted, filthy reality of Satan, always speaking in half-truths. Because it wasn't really false what he said to Eve. Eve said, if we eat the fruit, if we touch it, we'll die. Satan said, you will not surely die. Which wasn't entirely false. Did Adam and Eve drop dead the minute they ate the fruit? No. But they fell under the curse of death. They fell under separation from their Creator. And so every time you try to excuse sin, try to make up an excuse for why that thing you're doing contrary to God's word is okay in your situation, remember this. Sin is not just the bad choice you make or the bad words in your mind. It is the separation that exists between you and your Creator, the one who spoke this world into existence. The one who said, let there be light, and there was light. The one who said, let us make man in our image, and it happened. But God didn't finish speaking at creation, did he? He had more to be said. And so in our Old Testament reading, before Adam and Eve are cast out of the garden to toil and sweat for a living, and everyone born after them, you and me, God spoke a final word. The first thing he did was he cursed the serpent. Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock, above all beasts of the field. On your belly you shall go, and dust you shall eat all the days of your life. And then, God made a promise. He's again speaking to the serpent. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. You see, there would come a battle between that serpent and someone born of the woman. The one born of woman would crush the head of the serpent, would bruise his head, and that serpent would strike at his heel. We have the very first, excuse me, we have the very first mention in the scriptures of what God would do through Jesus Christ on the cross. The one born of woman to crush the head of the serpent, to bruise him, to be struck by him himself. Jesus is born to step on the head of the serpent, Satan, and to allow his own heel to be struck as well, so that God can speak his final word to you that says, forgiven. In our gospel today, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. Adam's blasphemy that said, I was naked, so I hid myself. That woman you gave to be with me. Or our blasphemy that says, don't judge me for what I do. Or God wants me to be happy so I can do this sinful thing. To all of it, God says, forgiven. Because the one born of the woman is the one who crushes the head of the serpent. And we who have been separated from God are now called children of the Father. Jesus said today in our gospel, when they pointed to him that his mother and his brothers were outside looking for him, he said, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. To those who do the will of God, which is hearing his word and receiving his gifts, they're not separated from God. They are his family, his children, brothers and sisters of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the gospel summed up. That the one born of woman comes to restore you to the Father. To take you who were separated and bring you back to him. And that is the final word that God speaks in that garden before his perfect creation, before the gates of the garden are closed off forever and Adam and Eve are sent out until we enter the paradise of heaven, the final word that God speaks is one that says, I will rescue you. I will bring you back to myself. And that's the word he speaks to you today and every day. You are forgiven. Your sins are paid in the blood of the one who was born of the woman to be nailed upon a cross and die for you. You are forgiven and brought back to your Father. Prodigal sons and daughters brought back to the Father whose love never stops. And now, on this day, we come to sort of a little Garden of Eden, don't we? I mean, it was Adam and Eve who were sent out from that garden, sent away from God's presence having sinned, sent away from the fruit that God provided them. And from that day forward, they would have to work and toil and sweat and struggle to eat and to live. But today, you come into God's presence, not hiding yourself or hiding your sin or hiding your shame, but laying it all before him, receiving the forgiveness that is yours in Jesus Christ. And now he invites you to eat, not from a tree, but rather from his son's own body and his son's own blood. Heavenly children of the Heavenly Father, brought before his heavenly table to eat his heavenly food. Dear friends in Christ, confess the sin that has separated you from God our Father, because you can't hide it from him any more than Adam could try to hide his nakedness. It was not until later in Genesis chapter 3 that God killed an animal. It's the first death recorded in the Bible. Was not Abel when Cain killed him. It was the animal that God killed in Genesis chapter 3 to make clothing for Adam and Eve. And by the shedding of that blood, Adam and Eve's shame was covered. By the one whose blood is shed for you, your sin and shame and guilt is covered. In the blood of Jesus Christ, you who have been separated from your Father are now brought near and called his dear children to receive his precious gifts now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.